Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks, and that is the one and only Rhubarb Brown.
Ho, ho, ho! Hey-o!
I feel like you're Hacksaw Jim Duggan right now. Like, enter the ring, got the American flag behind you, and a giant 2x4 with a, like, manly beard. That's all I'm waiting
for. That's how I feel. That's how I feel
right now.
I'm ready to go.
I got you. JT is at least taking a couple episodes off because he's been battling some sickness. He has he deals with some special health issues. I'm not going to, like, out all JT's health issues here. But he's taking some medicine that makes him feel bad, and he'll be back with us hopefully in an episode or two. We're not sure, but yeah, hopefully he gets feeling better. Shout out to JT, and we will talk with him soon. He's not mad. He hasn't left the show. Nothing like that. He just doesn't feel good tonight. yeah. I mean, we have to clarify because you never know when Josh is going to make someone mad. And then Josh has made me mad enough to leave the show a couple times. Let's be honest. And I've made you mad enough to leave the show a couple times.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's been a crazy week in America.
What?
It's been what? Completely ridiculous.
What happened?
Insane.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I mean,
we don't have the news here in Boone. We just have we have the newspaper that delivers once a week via donkey.
Gotcha.
Uh-huh. And you know, we just go down to the feed mill and get our supplies for the week, and then we come back to town. And so I don't find out what's going on until about 7 days later when I pick up the salt lick and everything,
that
and the
sense.
Turpentine down at the Cove Creek store down the mountain a little bit. So I don't. So what are you talking about, Ken?
Well, I mean, it's been a crazy week. I've had five new animals show up on the farm.
Oh, wow.
I had three baby calves and two cows I bought. I cut my first squash. My wife cut her first bell pepper. Actually,
all right. What does that mean? I'm a nerd. So what does that mean when you say you cut your own squash?
Okay, so back a few months ago, my wife said, "Hey, I want some raised
like you
beds.
Soiled, you mowed the field.
Sort of.
You have like
well,
a, do you have a mule?
Let me get there. Let me get there. I'll get there. So a few months ago, my wife said, "Hey, I want some raised beds because like the people that lived in our house before had some like cement concrete raised beds, but they kind of overgrown and everything."
Yeah.
So I said, "I can do that for you, baby." So because what she wants, she gets pretty much. When she makes all the money, does all the work, then you know she gets to pick what she wants. I took the tractor and I cleared off where the old raised beds were. I went up to the Home Depot and I bought me some 2x6s and some 2x8s. About 16 foot long, and then I bought me some tin, like you know, corrugated tin,
right?
And I framed me up and built me some raised beds. Used the tin for the sides, framed it with the 2x6s, put me a nice little rail around the top, and I made four raised beds that were 16 foot long and 4 foot wide, and about 4 foot tall. And then I filled them up with a little bit of dirt from down in the woods. And then the top, we filled in with raised bed dirt, and I went and we have a local chicken litter processing plant that, you know, chicken litter is a big thing around here because we have a bunch of chicken houses.
Chicken litter?
Yeah, that's chicken shit, Josh, is the other terminology for it.
I didn't know. I'm just clarifying. I thought chicken litter on our fields.
We put chicken litter on our fields. They put it in giant trucks and come and spread it all over the field.
And they call it chicken litter.
Chicken litter. Yep. That's what it's called. And so went to a local place. They have like 24 egg houses, I think, right across the road. And so they take all their chicken litter and they actually run it through like a sifter to clean it.
Okay.
And they even cook it. They like heat it up to get other stuff out of it. and then they bag it and they sell it to places like Scott's and you know, Pete's, what is it, Pete's that makes the soul stuff, you know? Anyway, they sell it to them, and then those companies like mix it in with other materials, and then that's like the bagged soil you buy at Home Depot to put around your plants and different things. Unless it's like your wife who buys fake plants from Home Goods.
Can we just talk about that?
Yeah, so, let's just pause and talk about that. We'll come back to my story, but I do want to hear about this.
No, we can finish your story.
You sure? I don't mind.
Finish your story. Finish your story. Okay. You were cutting the squash.
So I got the raised bed dirt in there, and then I took the bags of chicken litter. We mixed it all up together so it'd be nice and potent. And then the wife planted squash, and she planted some bell peppers, and she planted, and then I planted some hot peppers. And then she also planted watermelon, cantaloupe, sunflowers, okra, and I'm skipping something, but I don't remember what it is. Oh, zucchini. And so our squash plants are gigantic right now, you know, like 4 foot tall, growing out of the top of this thing and just loaded with squash. And so this morning.
Where is this? Behind your house? Is it in a field somewhere?
No, it's right beside my house. If you know where you come into my driveway, you know that little place that trailer stored right there on the right?
On the right, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
It's right behind that trailer right
there.
Okay.
We need to come back and hang out, man.
You do.
It's been too long.
You do. And I'll make you some good fried squash. Do you like fried squash?
Kenny.
I know you're from the South, but you're a hippie. So, like, I don't know.
Kenny, first of all, you know that I love squash because it's literally the entrance question to our private Not
Combination
Facebook
group. Yeah,
but you like
squash casserole, and squash casserole is not the same.
It's not the same as fried squash. Sure. I love squash. Yeah. Any form of squash.
I actually don't like squash casserole. I'm sorry, Josh.
What?
But yeah, I love squash, but not squash casserole. About? I don't. It's just one of those things.
Well,
it's a texture thing. It's a texture thing. But yeah, anyway, so squash, it finally, for the first time today, had the actual squash on it big enough, and you have to go out there and actually snip them and cut them off from the plant. You can't just like break them off and so the wife cut them and I think she had about 10 or 12 today that I washed and laid out. So yeah, first cutting. We're gonna have like 30 by the end of the week per day, so way more than we'll ever
so you
eat
cut like so so I know what a squash looks like, obviously, so
yeah.
So do you cut it off at the stem or something, or
yeah,
like,
it's got like a little, you know, where it actually attaches, it's like a stem, and you just cut that off. Yeah,
okay,
kind of like a watermelon. You know how watermelon grows,
and that's what you mean when you say you cut some squash.
Yeah, I went and cut some squash. Yeah,
okay.
And when the okra's up, you have to go cut okra every day. Yeah, that kind of thing.
I love okra.
Yeah, yeah. Fresh is the best, right?
Yeah.
I like it. I like zucchini, too, that way. And fried up. Yeah.
Yes.
I got to learn how to use the hot peppers the right way. I don't know. I've never done the hot pepper thing. Daddy didn't like hot peppers. So, like, the only thing he ever grew was bell peppers and banana peppers.
Okay.
And so I got to kind of learn how to appropriately cook with some hot pepper. So anyway, that's what I've been up to, and big news on, you know, in America that squash cutting season's here. You said
that's
your wife
huge news.
Your wife bought $150 worth of fake plants from Home Goods?
Okay,
what the heck?
So first of all, Kenny, so we got our Trump checks. We finally got our Trump checks.
Oh,
and
nice.
It took us a while cuz we weren't, I guess, the way our taxes were set up or something, we had to sign up for direct deposit, and I did not want to do that because I don't want the government to know my bank account information.
Mm. You're actually a conspiracy theorist, aren't you, Josh?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like one of these psycho libertarians that ends up creating his own Waco eventually.
I think you're taking that a little too far. But anyway, so we get our Trump checks in because Trump gave us all stimulus checks and stuff. So we got them in, and then we were debating on what to do with them. Do we, you know, give it to COVID-19 relief fund or something like that? And we decided to be selfish and keep it. So Nikki mentioned fixing up the back deck, and I was like, hell yeah, let's do it. So for 2 or 3 weeks, we talked about pimping out our, you've been over here. We got a back deck and then a back screened in porch, like a double deal. Super awesome.
Yep.
And we've had seating out there before, but nothing too nice. We had like a little two topper, just two chairs and a little table. Had my grill out there.
Yep.
On the open, the non-covered porch part, and then in the screen-in porch, I had one of them hanging hammocks and just some camp chairs. And so we were like, we're going to pimp it out. So the plan was for me to go with Nikki, and we were going to do this together. And then Friday, I had the idea of, you know what, even though I kind of want to be a part of it, honestly, because the way we looked at it, we emotionally looked at it as free money. And because it's free money, I don't really care about it that much. Usually I'm a total cheap ass. I want to watch everything. You know, I'm such a stickler on spending anything. You know me. I'm annoying about it.
Yep.
I was like, you know what, Nikki?
People would not believe that about you, I bet. I bet people would never expect that Josh was, like, tight. Josh, let's be honest. You're so tight that, like, you would create diamonds if people shoved them in the right places.
People don't understand how they, yeah, they think I guess they think I'm a little loose when it comes to that stuff. No, I'm like, I make Dave Ramsey look like Kid Rock when it comes to like spending money probably. But so I was like, you know what?
Buying cars, because you buy a new truck all the time. I don't get it.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what, Nikki, why don't you go and you have a Nikki day. You do your own thing. And, you know, and when you have kids, this sounds mean, but like you kind of look forward to not being around a kid sometimes and having an alone time. So she was like super, she's like, are you serious? It was like I told her, hey, I want you to go on a cruise to Alaska.
It does feel you that know? Way when, you, all, That's when how, you had to keep the kid. Wait till you have three.
We're not having three, Kenny. We're having one.
You're totally having more than one. I 100%.
So I tell her this Friday and her reaction was, it was like I had offered her a free cruise. I mean, she was like genuinely, she almost cried. Like she was genuinely so happy, and she told me how much she loved me.
Take notes, husbands.
She's like, really? I was like, yeah, I'll hang out with Brinley, and you know what? You go do your thing and do whatever you want to the back deck. I want you to Nickify it, and I trust that you'll get some cool stuff. Nickify it? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Nickify it. So she comes back 3 or 4 hours later with stuff in boxes, you know, totally different than how I operate.
Nickifying a thing is scary because we know Jeff Donahue listens, and I've seen the video of like going through his house and
I wasn't allowed to go inside it. Yeah. Me and John D. Howard weren't allowed to go in. They kept us at the porch. These people are very, I mean, I don't know if it was because the COVID going on, but like Nikki Donahue, love her, but she did not let me go in the house. So I didn't see the inside of the house until I saw the video tour of their home.
It's like they don't let peasants inside. It was like an MTV Cribs. Yeah. MTV Cribs home. Yeah. Home tour. Yeah. Anyway, you were saying.
So Nikki comes back with like some giant boxes in my truck and she unloads it and she gets like the nicest stuff you can get from Lowe's, and Lowe's is not cheap.
Nope.
So she went full on Nikki, and that's fine. Cause it was like free to us. It was free money, free money.
Yeah, sure.
Go to do whatever you want. So she goes to the nicest place in town, in Boone. At least she goes to Lowe's, gets really nice outdoor furniture. It looks fantastic. It's super comfy. The back porch area looks awesome. She got some lights to go above we got the rafters on the inside.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I think when I was there, you had Christmas lights off.
Yeah, probably. So it looks great. It looks fantastic. Well, and she was proud because she was under budget. She let me know that several times Saturday.
Wow.
She made it known several times that she was under budget.
Were you very excited about this?
Yeah, I was like, great.
Praise her for being under budget.
So,
yeah.
But she got some lights to go. We have these rafters above. That hang down from the ceiling in our screen and porch. So she got these lights that go across the rafters.
Yeah.
And then she got some more lights to like go on the walls, and then some more lights to go like around the rails. It was a little too much. And we were both kind of like, I don't know. She's like,
I've done that. Yeah.
She's like, I'll take those back tomorrow. I'll just go back to, she got the lights at Big Lots, by the way. She gets the furniture at Lowe's. Gotcha. She gets the lights at Big Lots.
Big Lots is dangerous. Yeah.
She's like, I'll take those back tomorrow. Okay, so then fast forward to Sunday. Jackie comes over. Okay.
Oh no. Oh no.
Now. Yeah.
Is Jackie past being mad at you?
That's Savannah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Savannah.
I thought
hasn't
Jackie
talked
was the one mad at you. I'm sorry.
No. Savannah, my next door neighbor, is gotcha. Still mad at me for poo pooing on her political meme. Yeah. Ah, so. Yes.
The one where we were all going to die from COVID, that one.
Right.
Yes. Gotcha. Right. Okay.
But now she's tweeting about something else. I'm not sure if you heard about it, but anyways.
I really haven't. No. Yeah.
Yeah. So Sunday, she goes to, Jackie comes over, and I knew it was going to be bad because when Jackie comes over, they can't be trusted. Two women cannot be trusted going to a store. That's why I have called on Roy Cooper to shut down our stores again. I was so thankful for our governor, Roy Cooper. I've tweeted at him several times. I was so thankful. A lot of my fellow Republicans were mad at Cooper. Me? Mm-hmm. No. I was like, Cooper, thank you for shutting down TJ Maxx, Home Goods, and all these stores. My wife can't go to them. We saved so much money from February through March, dude.
It wouldn't help. We would have to shut down Amazon. I need them to shut down Amazon for that to be successful for my family.
Well, just anyway, so it definitely helped. Nikki still used Amazon for sure because I go to the post office and I get all kinds of stuff with her name on it in those Amazon Prime boxes. But it definitely, I could tell that it definitely helped. Cooper helped.
We get so much Amazon Prime that my wife has to make a special trip to recycling with a car stacked all the way full of Amazon Prime boxes that are broken down and then stacked on top of each other, and it will fill the entire back of the Armada, like from the bottom all the way to the ceiling, from the back all the way to the front. I can't throw her completely under the bus because I buy a bunch of crap from there too, but still.
So Nikki and Jackie go to Lowe's. No, sorry, yep. they go to Big Lots. This is Sunday. They go to Big Lots.
Okay.
While they go to Big Lots, I didn't tell them, but I tried to go to church.
Wow.
I couldn't find.
Oh my gosh! What in the world?
There's this Methodist church down the road called Hebron Chapel. No, sorry.
Okay.
I say Hebron because there's a place called Hebron Rock Colony around here.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's called Henson Chapel United Methodist Church.
Oh, God. You think they play...
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
You
think
they play
church.
Unknown Henson?
Probably not.
Probably not?
So I didn't tell my heathen wife I was doing this because I just didn't want to talk about it. But gotcha. I felt compelled to go to church. Part of it was because... Honestly, I've been so pissed off that churches have not been allowed to like meet. I think that's
even
just
though
so
you
stupid.
Don't go, right?
Yeah, even though I don't go, I'm like,
it's
I'm
a
like,
social moment for you, right?
Yeah. and like my far left liberal friends in Boone, like I'm not even kidding, are still until the Black Lives Matter protest yesterday, we're still in quarantine. They won't come out and see people. Yeah. So except for Ben and Jackie. We've got a pretty big group of friends here. Ben and Jackie are politically super far left, but they're actually not weird and crazy about it. Ben is a wildlife biologist. Jackie is a psych professor at App State, and she has her own practice. And so even they think that like it's silly to be inside still. Guys, come on. But our friends Eric and Danielle, they've made it known they're not seeing anybody until there's a vaccine.
Wow.
Not even kidding. Unless there's a march. But we...
Want to support the nation's leading replacement-level podcast? Put your money where your mouth is, fellow degenerates. And visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For only $5 a month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes episodes and patron-exclusive podcasts. And you'll be supporting your favorite knuckleheads. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
You know. Gotcha. Anyway, so
what about your friend that was on Ellen, like that got COVID and was defriending you?
So
what
happened
with all that?
She didn't defriend me. Her husband defriended me. So that's Mary Catherine. So Mary Catherine Backstrom, she's my friend from Birmingham. It's one of those moments in life. You ever have like the older you get, you have these friends that you kind of you have this internal discussion with yourself, and you kind of come to terms with the fact that you know what, they were my we were friends for a season. Mm-hmm. And that season was like 10 years ago, and like we're on different planets now, and that's fine.
And there's a part of you that's sad about it. A little part of you that's I kind of miss part those people. Yeah. I'm familiar.
So this is what happened with them. So remember that viral video of those two doctors in California they were talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I watched that video like everybody else did in America, and I thought they were very honest and like and they kind of owned that these are some of their opinions, and they had some data, and they probably. At the very worst, they extrapolated some stuff where they maybe shouldn't have. They were good people, and they had a very contentious opinion about herd immunity. And then, you know, they took the video down. Well, I shared the video. Well, Ian, Mary Catherine's husband, who is an ER surgeon in Orlando, sent me a very long text message the day that I shared that contentious video on Facebook. And Ian told me that we cannot be friends anymore because I am spreading false information about COVID-19. And I was like, dude, I'm just the dingus. Like, saw the video. Yeah. I don't know. Like, if you're really my friend and you really feel that way, then call me and tell me why that video is wrong or something. Like, and then
didn't he catch COVID after that and his wife?
He did. So he texted me that. It was this very long, text message. And it was one of those things where like, I kind of read the situation immediately, almost like a quarterback, and I knew, you know what? That's the end of our friendship. Like, there's no coming back from that. Like, I've lost Ian. I've lost Ian. He's too far gone. And so I responded with, there's that fake video of the two doctors where you click on it and it goes to that song.
Rickroll?
Yeah.
Did you Rickroll him?
I Rickrolled him, and he has his read receipts. Yeah, he has his read receipts on his little iMessage, so I know he read it, but I don't know if he clicked on it. So he probably, maybe he didn't click on it. Maybe he thought I sent it to him again, or I was being an asshole. Anyways, 3 days later, his wife, who you brought her up initially.
She has this big following on Facebook.
So Mary Catherine is like a Facebook rock star.
Yeah.
We were friends in Birmingham like 10 years ago. We were horseback riding buddies. We were riding horses together.
When all this happened, I looked her up on Facebook because you were telling me about all this, and I'm like, I need to find out more about this hilarious story.
Yeah.
And when
I did,
how Facebook tells you like all your friends that follow this person when you look at it? I had like four friends that know nothing about you that follow Mary Catherine
through the years.
And I'm like, what in the world, people? Why?
Yeah.
And I went through her timeline thinking, you know, maybe she says something interesting. And I'm like,
no.
Really not. Why?
No.
What? I don't understand.
So 10 years ago when I lived in Birmingham, Alabama, I met Mary Catherine at an open mic night. We became musical buddies. And then me and her husband Ian became buds. And Mary Catherine's cousin, Lindsay Livings, we all four of us would hang out, and we started riding horses together. They were big horseback riding people, so was I.
Oh, that's the picture where it looks like you're about to have like a threesome with two other women while riding horseback. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that's me. So that was Lindsay and Hannah, friends of Mary Catherine.
Gotcha.
So 10 years ago, we were just, for about 3 years, from like 2010, 2013, we were like super tight, and this was back when I was a Democrat, or at least I thought I was, and so we never talked about politics really. That was back, you know, JT said it best. Back then, like, all the liberals were just like at Starbucks hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I was. So anyways, fast forward, Ian at this time in Birmingham is in med school at UAB, and they were poor as shit, and I was the one making money, which wasn't much money, but like to them I was like rolling. Well, then they moved to Orlando because Ian got a job as an ER surgeon or something at Orlando Hospital, and now they're doing very well. He makes a lot of money. Sometime in between there, Mary Catherine starts a blog called Mom Babble, and it goes viral. I mean, she was on Good Morning America. She makes these viral videos, and she's like a Facebook like rock star. And then earlier this year, she made the selfie video that was okay. It went viral, and she ended up being on like all these morning shows. She was on Ellen.
and all these things. Ellen gave her a bunch of money or something, didn't she?
Ellen gave her $20,000, and I promise you that she didn't need that. So, anyways, and then she wrote a book. She wrote a book that came out about a month ago called Mom Babble, and yeah, through the years, people like my in-laws all know who she is from Facebook. I'm like, yeah.
Someone listening right now is like, oh my God, I follow her. Like, yeah. They're totally losing it right now.
Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, I knew her when she was a total dweeb and she still is. But anyway, so she's super far left now though. She's super far left. And she's, it's all about, it's this weird like attention thing. So
it's very Ian, much that,
Ian gets COVID and
Josh
it's almost
would
like
know nothing about
me?
Bad.
No, nothing. So Ian gets COVID, and it's almost like it became her like identity. She like she was the one that announced it.
I saw that.
And you know, and so everybody just felt sorry. And to put that in context, before Ian gets COVID, she was just shaming everybody for like downplaying COVID and shaming anyone who shared those videos of those doctors and stuff. And she did this long live video about people, and it was basically people like me.
It was very much aimed at Josh Brown, like 100% aimed at. Yeah, she was thinking of you.
Yeah, and how terrible we are for spreading misinformation during this time. And then of course Ian gets it, and I remember saying like, of course Ian gets COVID.
I remember you texting that to me and being like, of course he got it, 100%. So like, now she's, who knows if he actually got it, but you knew he was going to get it, like
totally going to get it, right?
Yeah, and you knew then 100%. 200% that if he got it, she was going to get it because, you know, why
and then
not?
And then she did.
Yeah.
About 2 weeks later, she made a very emotional update
end
on her Facebook.
End of the world update. Yes.
End
I
of the world update.
Yeah.
That she has now got COVID. And then everybody's just sending her prayers. She thousands of shares. I mean, it just goes pretty much viral.
Yeah.
I'm convinced she's going to write a book about this or be on Ellen again about this.
Oh, 100%. She's going to write a book. 100%.
Yeah. And so she has COVID, and then she gave a couple
now,
up.
Am I wrong? You know Mary Catherine. Am I wrong for assuming that there's a 100% chance she never actually had COVID?
I think that's what – so that's what my sister-in-law works at Emory. She's a very smart woman and does very well and so that's what she thinks. And
okay. Yeah, so like I watched it and I'm like, you know, it just makes far too much sense for Miss Blogger Mom to get COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she really had it.
If he had it and she had it, actually what's funny is like it was a huge self-own because he was fine after a couple of days.
Yeah.
And she felt like poo for a few days, but then she recovered because she was updating us. And so she was talking about how, you know, everyone's going to die of this, basically, and like all that. And then basically, like, they get it and they're okay, you know.
Yeah, I remember her video was like, I'm so afraid. I don't know what to do when your loved one tells you that he has COVID and he's now quarantining behind a door and I just know it's so bad and I'm on the outside and there's nothing I can do but listen to him in his misery and be strong for him and the kids. And I'm like, honey, like,
yeah,
suck it up. You sound like a 30-year-old man sick for his first time while his wife's going to work. Like, that's really what you sound like.
And she was, and then when she was having it, she was doing some updates. She was having some breathing problems, and she wasn't feeling well. She was running fevers. But all of a sudden, her fever went away immediately once this new thing started happening in America. And now she hasn't mentioned anything about the COVID. It's all about the B's and the L's and the M's. So it's just very interesting how that all just stopped immediately. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
What were we talking about before that?
You're not done telling the story Goods. Yes,
so Nikki and Jackie go back to Big Lots Sunday while I am trying to find a church to go to. Okay. As they're doing that, I am on the way to Henson Chapel United Methodist Church Sunday morning. I get there, Kenny, and you're not going to believe this, but guess what?
They're closed.
There's no cars in the parking lot. So I sent them a Facebook message asking if they were meeting, and I didn't hear anything back. But then I drove past a Baptist church called Cove Creek Baptist, Hindsight, I kind of wish I went, but I didn't go. I was just wanting a Methodist church, honestly. So I ended up just driving to town. I was like, screw it, I'll just drive to town. And I tuned in to Boone's WATA 1450 AM because they carry every Sunday morning a local Methodist church service. So I tune in, and they, maybe it's a Methodist thing because Methodists are kind of like the liberals of the Christians. And so they were having a virtual meeting, and they were talking about how it's not safe to meet in public. I'm like, well, maybe I'm not a Methodist, so maybe I should go. Maybe I should check out the Baptist next week. I don't know.
Josh, if you ever want a sermon, buddy, you can just call, and I'll be happy to like literally preach to you for 20 minutes or something. You know.
But I think what I want, honestly, and I can't even. I don't even know if Nikki would understand this because she's not experienced this. But like back in Georgia, my brother Ben and Chrissy, my sister-in-law, they go to like one of those super traditional Southern Baptist churches. Not the kind that, if you're listening, you're thinking of. You're thinking of like the big mega, you know, West Rome Baptist church. No. I'm talking about like actual Southern Baptist, like a little white chapel.
Yeah.
It's like walking into 1848 and they just smack you in the damn face with the gospel and you feel like crap,
I like
but in
how
a good
you say
way.
That. Just, yeah.
So I want to be slapped in the face. That's kind of like, I almost like thought about driving to Georgia next weekend just to, like, I just want to be slapped in the face.
Well, come on, buddy. I'll be happy to slap you in the face.
I went to Ben and Chrissy go to the Southern Baptist thing that they go to. It's like they go to different churches every Sunday. It's like this little.
So I don't know if I should tell you this or not, like,
what?
Especially not on the podcast, but my daughter.
Wait. Time out. Cause I gotta finish the Jackie and.
Okay. I'm sorry.
So hold that thought. So I come back and Nikki and Jackie are still gone. And I'm sitting there, watching, I called John D. Howard cause I wanted a cigar recommendation.
Ah, yes.
And so he told me to get a McAdoo. And so
it was
pretty good actually. So I talked to John. He talked my ear off, by the way, about Chick-fil-A. He told me a lot of secret proprietary information about Chick-fil-A that I'm not allowed to ever repeat, by the way.
Nice. Gotcha. Okay.
Do you know how much money they make at each store?
Okay.
So
do you know the door combo for Truett's Luau? Like
So anyways, John it was like he hasn't talked to anybody but Meredith and like you know, in like 2 weeks, and so
that's
like
probably
100%
true.
So I was the one that got the ear.
It's probably more like 8 weeks. Yeah,
it was awesome. So I get off on with John, and I fix him Totino's pizza rolls, and then Nikki and I'm in a great mood at this point, and then Nikki and Jackie walk in the door, and Nikki's holding like five bags of shit. Okay, and she's like hobbling through the living room with her bags of shit, and then she goes outside. And I was like, oh, shit, what more stuff did she get? So I walk out there, and she has bought $150 worth of just fake plants.
Are they really fake? They're like,
yes!
Not real at all. Wow.
100% fake. They're plastic plants.
All right. Well.
Yeah. And she puts them on the ledge of our screened-in back porch.
Ah,
and so the way she puts them up, it looks like an 80-year-old like cat lady would have these plants.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
That's what it looks like to me.
Yes, I see.
And I
is she trying to tell you something here, Josh?
I don't know. But I didn't take it well and I didn't respond very well. And
oh,
I was like, Nikki,
no.
This is ridiculous.
Josh.
I said, why? Why did you buy all this shit? And she's like, you told me to Nickify it. And I said, that was yesterday. All right. That was yesterday. And just because we were under budget doesn't mean you can. You
so
need
Josh
to buy
makes
just
this great
worthless
move.
Shit.
Go enjoy your weekend. I'll watch the baby.
Yeah.
And then you immediately trash all the traction you had gained with your wife and out the door it goes.
Yes. Because the furniture she got is practical. We can sit and use the furniture. We can't use the fake plants, Kenny. Okay.
Josh.
And then you're not going to believe what she said to me, Kenny.
Josh,
you will not believe what she said.
Can you use your bobbleheads? Can you use your pictures of people behind you?
Those are different.
How
How are they different?
You're not going to. They cost a lot less money. You
did they now? Do they now? That Mitch Trubisky jersey on the wall, did it really cost a lot less money?
Kenny, you're going down a slippery slope. That was a gift, and you know it. That was a gift.
I'm just warning you, buddy.
So then, as I am you know what? I'm not throwing shade at this point. I'm educating her.
I'm
educating
yes.
her about the cost of things and the functionality of things and the value of things. So I'm letting her know that what she just did doesn't serve any purpose.
Did she listen and learn with empathy? Do you feel like she's connected with your identity now and the struggles that you go through in life, Josh?
Honestly, no. I don't think she gives a shit. So this is what she said to me. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is the card that she played.
Wide open. Yeah.
This is why women can't play poker. This is the card that she played. She said, it's the same thing as your $150 toolbox that you got. And I said,
okay.
I said, excuse me?
Oh.
She said, yeah, it's the same thing. It's about the same price. You got your toolbox. I got what I wanted. And I said, let me tell you something real quick. Okay. I said, what do your plants do? And she goes, it doesn't matter. I said, oh, okay.
They bring peace and tranquility, Josh.
I said, what does my truck toolbox do?
Not a
thing. It holds things.
Like
it is functional.
What does your toolbox actually hold, Josh?
Groceries. Fishing supplies.
Ah, yes.
Bags.
Yes.
When I drove down to Georgia 2 weekends ago, it carried bags.
Yes, yes. I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yes. My truck toolbox is very practical.
Does it hold any actual tools?
My truck box is very practical. Okay. It is very practical and it holds things. Okay.
You're such a hipster.
Her fake ass flowers serve no purpose.
What about your fake ass toolbox?
It carries things, Ken. All right. I don't need.
Her argument was great. It was flawless. Way to go, Nikki.
I'm about to quit this. This is my last week. You know, this is. I'm done. You know, I get vulnerable. I get vulnerable on this podcast with you. I share my heart.
Yes.
Know? I share my heart and I come to you, Kenny, with raw. I come to you raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I about my
you should try my weekend.
My weekend, and you have to poo-poo on it.
I didn't poo-poo on it. I just agree with your wife, or at least her analogy.
How dare you? Stop agreeing with my wife.
Why? See, now you got offended because your wife called me the other day to talk to me about...
Whoa. I was not offended. No.
Okay. Let's see if you were offended. I believe you were. Because
I was not offended.
Your wife called to talk to me and about possibly drawing her some ideas for a particular tattoo she's thinking about for spending your money to get printed on her arm, you know, inked on her arm. And we got to talking about books, and your wife's a bibliophile. Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. So we were talking about books and all this stuff, and you seemed to imply through the phone, sitting across from her, that you were not very pleased with me talking to your wife for like 30 minutes.
The way you're saying that, for people that are listening, people are gonna take that as me getting weird about you talking to my, that just comes across. No, it's not true. I don't give a shit. You guys could camp out together.
We were
in the
kind
same
of
tent.
Talking intimately, and you seemed upset that we were speaking intimately with each other about, you know, deeper things and books and stuff. And
no, that's, you know, that meme, that's, it's like the guy, The woman's thinking about, like, what's he thinking about?
Yeah.
Is he mad at me?
So, like the Jay Dunna meme where it looks like Jay Dunna's laying one way. Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy's like, you know, what's wrong with my motorcycle? That's what's happening. Because I was watching a barbecue show on Food Network.
Gotcha.
And I was annoyed that you losers were talking about some bullshit fantasy books.
I see.
on the couch next to me while I, because I had it paused. I had it paused.
Oh, I see.
So it's, I'm watching this barbecue show. It's paused.
I'm trying to do the hard work of having deep conversations that Josh Brown can benefit from, because the only reason your wife gets to have this wonderful conversation is because she knows me through you. So, Josh, I'm trying to put change in your pocket, and you're over there hating on me because you got your dang TV show paused.
I didn't think about it that way. That does make sense. That,
trying to be a wingman, and you're just over there poo-pooing all over me while I'm being a wingman for you. Just saying.
I didn't take that angle into consideration, Kenny.
Well, you should think before you say things.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be Braves Emily, okay?
I don't think
God rest her soul, former patron.
My wife is convinced that I don't think of anything. It's impossible for me to think of anything without first saying it out of my mouth. And she's probably right.
If she thinks that about you, what does she think about me? Because you're way more disciplined than I am.
No, I'm not. You're just way more intentional than I am.
Okay.
Well, what I mean by that is, like, you have intentionally created the Josh Brown Twitter persona. And you will say anything instantly that you think fits the Josh Brown Twitter persona. But you're very smart, and you think about things a lot more than you let people think you do.
No.
And, yes, sir. And you are way, way more thoughtful as far as internalizing before you externalize, especially during actual conversation.
That's not true, Kenny.
I think you just blast like crap because it makes people mad. But yeah, well, I think you are very much the type that if you think it will get a rise out of people on Twitter, you won't hesitate to put it out because you think that's exactly what your goal is. But I've been around you, and when you are actually talking to human beings, not to idiots on Twitter, you are very thoughtful to consider who they are and probably how they think, maybe even to a fault, and tone down the Josh Brown isms and actually be a really nice, cool person.
Well,
that's why all your liberal friends can even stand you, and they have problems when open Josh Brown from Twitter and Facebook kind of invades the Josh Brown that they know that's very sensitive and cultured and refined and controlled. Because you are very much a chameleon. But you like to be the anti-chameleon. You can fit with any crowd, period. Like, I've seen Josh Brown. I believe you could walk in to any conversation going on, and those people in 10 minutes would be your best friend.
There's a term for this, Kenny. It's called full of shit.
Well, that's probably true. A lot of people get paid for it. Bill Clinton was a master. That's how he got to be. It's how he got to be president. But I do. You are a master at it. But you also know, because you're such so good at being a chameleon, you are also masterful at being the anti-chameleon, meaning you recognize, especially in today's like tribal society where everybody wants to look like all their friends and be just like all their friends, you're really good at fitting in just enough to then be the alternative that I'm kind of like all you people, but I'm totally different, so everybody look at me. You know, like, you're good at that. You can do both if you want to, and you're a master of it. You're actually really good at it. Well, so what I was going to tell you earlier, and I don't know if I should actually tell you this or not because it might, like, hinder something, but I trust God's bigger. Saturday night, my girls and I, before bedtime, we prayed for Josh Brown and that God would no joke, we prayed that God would continue to show his love to you and, like, cover you, and then you wake up on Sunday morning and want to go to church.
Shut the fuck
no,
up!
No, 100% serious.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I am not kidding. 100% no. serious. 100% what? Serious. And, like, we don't do that every night. Like I'll pray for you from time to time, but, like, not usually in their prayers. Saturday night, 100% prayed for Josh Brown. Yeah.
Dude, So Nikki cooked breakfast, and Jackie comes over before they go to Big Lots.
Yeah.
Jackie brought her parents over. They're in town from Richmond, and so we had breakfast, and then they were going to go to Big Lots. Well, I had already planned to go to church, but I didn't tell anybody because I just didn't want to talk about it.
Sure.
I didn't want anybody to know. Well, I was wearing I didn't think about it being weird, but like Jackie was like, "Why are you wearing a polo shirt, Josh?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just fucking feel like it, man." Okay. So I'm wearing like it's like Sunday morning, and I'm wearing, I guess I never wear it on weekends, but I'm wearing like one of my Columbia like polo shirts, and
I find it absolutely hysterical that like your heart was like kind of sensitive that direction, even if it was in a social rebellion sort of way. Not that church is anything magical or you going there had anything you necessarily directly do with what we were praying about, but the fact that I pray for you on Saturday night and then that happens on Sunday, like, Josh, it's so funny hanging out with you. You are so borderline what's the word? Atheist, agnostic. I don't know the actual word. Like, you like to pretend that role anyway, and yet
I do, and I've tried to be an atheist, man. But those motherfuckers suck. They're the worst people in the world. These motherfuckers are just like the most miserable, shittiest people, and they just and they think that they know everything, and they.
Oh, let's be honest, Christian. Most Christians do too.
Yeah, I know. but I love trolling atheists is like.
Oh, it's easy.
It gives me such great joy because they just think it's just so easy because they're like, imagine thinking prayer is real. Imagine thinking prayer does something. And then the very next breath. Can you guys send some positive vibes my way? I've got a job interview tomorrow.
Yeah.
I just love making fun of them.
Atheists have always cracked me
and they don't
up
do shit. Because, they don't do anything. They don't
because
they don't do
they're the
anything
most evangelical people that I've ever met. Like, they are not hardcore. They are hardcore trying to recruit every person that they run into to be an atheist with them. It's like CrossFit. 100%. Like, an atheist and CrossFit could all hang out. Like, hey, yo, bro, did you know I do CrossFit? Yo, bro, did you know I was an atheist? Yo, bro, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Yo, bro, I do CrossFit. Do you do CrossFit? I got to go do this workout. Like, that's exactly the way it feels when you're talking to most atheists. It's really funny. No offense if you're an atheist. Just saying, like, you know, you're the most, like, missionary people that I've ever met. But, but anyway, I just think what I was trying to say is you like to dance on that line, and yet it's really obvious that you also have some part of you that you try to deny and shut up that's like super connected to God somewhere in the past. Like, I'm not even trying to be like hyper spiritual here on the podcast. It's just like very obvious that a person like you, you're just done with all the bullshit that has become like religiosity of church and that kind of thing. But I can just tell. Anyway, praying for you.
But also like just in the way, because culture is like this weird roller coaster. So wherever we are right now, which I don't know what that is called, but maybe in 10 years I'll know. But right now, wherever the roller coaster is now, I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Like, I love where I live. Like, I love Boone, but I hate the
insanity,
the super politically correctedness, the insanity of the left so much. And with that, these people hate, you know, anything faith based. And they shut down churches. I hate that so much that it's made me really appreciate. Me and Nikki talked about this on the back deck before she ruined it. We talked Friday night.
Maybe you need a prayer plant back there, Josh. Like, one of those plants Friday we can just night. Make it your prayer plant where you'll know Ken's praying for you when you see that plant.
Prayer box. I forgot about the prayer box. But what it's done is wherever we are in culture right now on that roller coaster, for a long time, I don't know. I don't know how to explain this, but wherever we are right now, it's made me appreciate my Christian friends. And I told Nikki this. I'm like, Nikki, like, and I brought not to make you feel weird, but I brought Ken and Cynthia up. And I was like, I brought some, I'm not going to say their names, but I brought some people up we know in Boone who won't hang out with anybody right now because of, in my opinion, just a bunch of bullshit, right? I was like, people like Ken and Cynthia wouldn't do that. Like we also have friends that will actually request, you know, if you guys come over, we don't want to talk about politics.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, it's no fun to have, yeah. Like, don't tell me that. Cause it makes me want to fucking talk about politics. You know, like,
exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I just, I'm like my Christian.
You have
friends,
that rebellious nature in you, like, and not like in a negative way, but like just in the sense like, of, you don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Yeah,
I'm like, I know obviously there's millions of them. I know there's some annoying and terrible Christians, but the ones I know in 100%. Life, the ones that I know, like you guys, John Howard, they would never ever tell me to, before I came over to their house for dinner, to not do something or not talk about anything. They would just let me be me. And if I talked about it, they would tell me that, Josh, that's stupid. That, you know, here's why, or not, you know, it's just, and that's, it makes me appreciate the Christian. Honestly, like, I don't know any mean Christians right now. And maybe that's just my little circle that I've crafted.
That's probably smart.
It's taken me years to do, you know,
to weed out all the really angry
Mark Mary Croft and Mark from, you know, like, Christians. So it's just one of those things where, my liberal non-Christian friends are not kind right now, just in general. And wherever we are on that roller coaster right now, they are the ones that are just, they're mean, they're unhappy, they're miserable. And my Christian friends aren't. And I can't help but call it out and notice it, you know?
Gotcha.
Just saying.
Yep. I'm glad you feel that way about us. I'm not always happy, but I think I'm happier than people that are just intentionally living in torment too, you know, or tormenting themselves in ways that they can. Hey, you guys have been listening to the Knock Home Nation podcast show. We want to wrap today's episode up with I think, Josh, if you want to add something to this, let me just say this. Hey, if the world is a little scary right now and a little crazy and a little unhinged, let me make a couple suggestions. One, be nice to people. Being nice to people never hurts. Okay, it hurts a lot sometimes. Sometimes it's tough to be nice to people. Sometimes you have to, like, intentionally be nice to people that don't want to be nice to you. Be nice. Be nice anyway. Secondly, let's not kill anyone for any reason. It seems like a bad plan. Cops that do should go to jail. People that do should go to jail. Let's not do that. Seems like a bad plan. And let's turn off the TV and the Twitter and all the bullshit. I think that's the best word. This whole episode we could call bullshit because we've talked a lot about it. Josh, I think you did a really good job of pointing it out on our Facebook page one day this week that, and I don't think it's just media, but I do think media plays this role of people don't like us to get along, and it's a lot easier to stoke the fires of people's tribes by dividing us by our tribes rather than uniting us on what makes each of us individuals but connects us together. And you had a really brilliant Facebook post. I don't remember every word of it. Maybe you can fill in some of the gap there.
Well, man. I just feel like the media and the media is more than the media right now. The control they have over people, it's unreal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they don't want us to love each other. They don't want us to love each other. So my purpose of that post was, you know, if you're a Republican, your Democrat friend also doesn't want to pay a crap ton of taxes. If you're a Democrat, your Republican friend also cares about education, right? If you're black, your white friend who grew up in the country also grew up not liking cops. I promise you. Mm-hmm. I promise you.
Especially asshole cops. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up amongst a long line of rednecks, and they would call them the fuzz and the pig, and they didn't have much respect for them at all. If they got pulled over, they'd crack that window like 1 inch, and the cop would come over and ask them where they were going, and they would say, none of your damn business. You know, like, that's So it's my, we're very much, we're so much alike. And I think most people really know that. I think most people, I hope at least, know that America, it really is like that. We're very much alike, and we do love each other. And, I mean, I've got interracial friends, Devin and Lindsay, you know, that we went to their, you know, baby shower, a couple months ago. And these people are part of our lives. And the media, they don't want love and harmony, because guess what? That doesn't sell.
No.
What does sell is hatred and hysteria and all that. It gets views and clicks and attention. And that is the name of the game. And so for me, like, I just want to encourage people to honestly, like, just turn off the news. Because right now, everybody's watching the news.
Which includes Twitter right now. Like
it
just
really does
off.
Include Twitter.
I had to, like, just take a break. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's so bad. And I mean, we've said it before on the podcast, but, like 80% of the noise on Twitter just comes from, like, that 5 or 10% of people. It's just terrible.
And like, let's be real clear. Like, here at Nakoma Nation, this isn't like a political statement. This isn't us trying to virtue signal, because we'll be happy to talk with you about nuances and differences of opinion, that kind of thing. But, you know, we think that there's things that could be a lot better for the black experience in America and for black lives. And black lives, of course, black lives matter. Like, life matters. Black lives especially matter. And like, we believe that hardcore, 100%. Yeah. We also believe blue lives matter, and we believe cops matter, and we believe white folks matter. And we're not one of these weird people out here saying all lives matter, trying to, like, wash over the fact that there's not injustice, because there definitely is. But we also believe that assuming that all black people have the same experience is just as racist as assuming all black people act a certain way and do a certain thing. Like,
yeah.
I want to know you, black, white, or whoever, as you. Not by the color of your skin, but by the content of your character. Not just meaning are you a good or bad person, but, like, the type person you are. Like, I want to know you. I don't want to know your skin color. And your skin color may be a part of you, but it's not what defines all of you. There's a lot more. I know black people that are funny. I know black people that are super serious. I know black people everywhere in between, you know. I know white people that are all those things too. I know white people that I can't stand to be around and white people that I love to be around. It has nothing to do with their skin. It has everything to do with who they are. And I think if more of us recognize that we might all be a little bit, it might be a little easier to love one another and do the whole love thing. So from Nakoma Nation, shout out to everybody. We love you. We're glad you listen. And be nice. Be nice to people.
Get outside. Grill some burgers. Grill some dogs, man. Get a grill. Buy a grill. Go fishing.
Don't burn your house down.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakoma Nation is brought to you by Nakoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.